It's peak tomato season, which means it's the busiest, sweatiest, most back-breaking time of the year for Tim Stark, a self-described accidental tomato farmer.
One large heirloom and the wild max. Oh, yeah, they're nice.
That's Tim Stark at the Union Square Green Market in Manhattan this week. He trucked in a ton and a half of tomatoes from his farm in Pennsylvania, 100 varieties, mostly non-hybrid heirloom tomatoes, all organically grown.
Two red beefsteaks, one sweet Chelsea.
Tim Stark started out in 1996 on a whim, growing several thousand tomato plants from seed in his fourth-floor walk-up in Brooklyn. Now, 12 years later, he farms 12 acres in Pennsylvania, where he grew up. And his tomatoes are sliced and diced and stacked on dinner plates of the finest restaurants in New York.
Seven for John George, seven mixed cherries. Seven
a tomato farmer. It's not what Tim Stark imagined for his career. He started out as a management consultant and would-be writer until tomatoes took over his life. Tomatoes with wonderful names, as he describes in this reading from his new book, Heirloom.
Cherokee Purple, Green Zebra, Garden Peach, Plum Lemon, Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifter. I could not help noticing how these tomatoes responded to me in ways that women, bosses, and literary editors never had.
The cover of his book shows a gorgeous assortment of tomatoes, orange and red and purple, green and striped, all blemish-free. But some of his tomatoes are as homely as they come.
Yeah, they are. They are. In fact, I guess some of the companies are marketing them as ugly tomatoes, they call them. But sometimes it's just the uglier the better. And some of them are just incredible how they – there's one called the peach tomato that really prefers to look like a peach. And there's one that prefers to look like a pear. There's even some that look like bell peppers. They're really varied. It's pretty amazing. I actually find the ugly ones, they tend to split and crack and get beaten up a lot more. And those are the ones I always eat. And I always say they're the best.
Why do you think it's better?
Yeah, it's sort of like the, I don't know, maybe the ugly duckling story or something like that. It shows character, the cracks and the rips, the bruises. And if it's perfect, that means maybe it's been pampered too much and it doesn't have character.
You have a great line in your book talking about, you know, those perfect, shiny, fancy tomatoes at the supermarket. And you say, to fall for them is a bit like talking dirty on the telephone for $3.99 a minute.
Yeah, I did say that, didn't I?
You did.
My goodness. Yeah. You pay all this money and they look great. They look fabulous. But it's not the real thing.
How did it happen that this operation that you started sort of on a whim in a way, you know, now you are providing tomatoes to the fanciest restaurants around New York, and everybody seems to know exactly who you are.
Yeah, I always say that first year we had an incredible crop of, say, 60 varieties of tomatoes. And at that time, nobody was growing that kind of a variety. I mean, at Union Square, nobody had 50 varieties. There were people with growing Brandywines and Cherokee Purples. So it really caught the eye of a lot of restaurants and a lot of customers in that first year. I was really lucky. If we'd have had a dry year like this year and that first year because I had no irrigation, I wouldn't be here. I'd be back in Brooklyn thinking of my next scheme.
You know, as your business took off and you started selling to all these fancy restaurants around New York, you describe delivering to them. And I guess there are times when you don't go in the back, you walk right through the restaurant and you're sweaty and grubby and you're hauling in these cartons of tomatoes.
Yeah.
I love picturing that. The contrast.
Well, and that was something. And that's something. And I said that, too, in the early years. I got thrown out of restaurants trying to do that. And if I was delivering in the evening and I was picking all morning, I was probably a little rough. I was sort of, you know, look, I just want to get this delivered. I don't want to beg permission to go around the back. So I was probably just pushing in too. But now I'll walk right through some dining rooms during the busy time. And I think the restaurants like to have their customers seeing, you know, the farmer come through.
But you're saying now people value that.
Yeah. Well, you have to. I mean, if you want to be a restaurant that counts, you got to have some filthy farmer walking with something just picked. You know, you got to have that. That's part of the look. You know.
Well, Tim Stark, it's great talking to you, and enjoy the rest of tomato season.
Thank you.
Tim Stark's book is Heirloom, Notes from an Accidental Tomato Farmer. You can read an excerpt at npr.org where he writes about his first frenetic season in the world of tomato farming.